Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is a wonderful Wednesday here at Walking in His Word, yep. Talking about warrior to warrior. Let's just see how many W's we can fit into one sentence.
Yeah, you're right. Wednesday, Walking in His Word, warrior to warrior. Whoa, this is wild. Oh, my gosh.
Oh!
you probably recognize the name when I say Pastor Charles Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's since passed away, yep. But man, a man of God, just awesome. And I recently was listening to one of his messages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was talking his message about how he was up in age at this point when this message I had heard. He was definitely older, you know. And he was chatting and preaching about how he always tells his doctor, like, about what he's preaching on.
Okay.
Whenever he visits him. And I think at this stage in his life, he was visiting his doctor, you know, more often than normal. So yeah, that's what happens as you age. But that's okay. Anyway, and so the doctor, he comes in the doctor's office and he hadn't said anything to the doctor yet, but the doctor engaged with him first and said, "So what are you preaching on this Sunday, Pastor?"
Yeah.
And now the doctor doesn't go to his church.
Right.
But, you know, that's what the conversation is every single time. So he engaged him first. He said, "What are you preaching on this Sunday, Pastor?" And so Pastor Charles says, "Well, I'm preaching on peace." And the doctor stops and his face gets serious. And he says, "Most of my patients are sick because they lack peace. They're sleepless and anxious and depressed, and I have to medicate them." He goes, "But I've realized they don't need I'm not fixing them. They need a peace from above."
Wow.
And he says, "I wish my patients were all going to go to your church this Sunday because they need this message of peace. They are always worried." That's what's happening in the world these days.
Wow.
We need the remedy for worry.
Come on.
A prescription for worry.
That's right.
And that's what Pastor Tim's preaching about today.
That's right. It's going to be so good.
Let's go to his message.
"Who, me? And as God then began to reveal his plan for Gideon, somewhere along the line, Gideon began to say yes to God's plan. He began to surrender to the will and the purpose of God. Now listen to this. There is no anointing and no courage without surrender. And may I say this? There's no peace without surrender. I mean, one of the ways that the Lord revealed himself to Gideon is, I am the Lord of peace, Jehovah Shalom. It's interesting. Gideon was so fearful and God just spoke peace. Gideon surrendered and God just poured in courage. Gideon surrendered and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. There is no anointing. There is no courage. There is no peace if you do not surrender to God's plan and purpose to your life. And so warriors learn the secret of this thing called surrender. Until you say, yes, Lord, you'll always be dealing with inner issues of fears and anxieties. But if you can learn to say, yes, Lord, God will inspire you and enable you to do what he's called you to do. It says in Judges chapter 6, verse 17, that Gideon wanted a sign. Later on in this same chapter, he lays out fleeces to try to determine the will of God. Gideon's desire for a sign should be viewed as weak faith. Gideon needed to trust God's word, not signs. Do not become dependent upon signs. Sign seeking is not the path to spiritual maturity. God will say to you, if you continue to ask the Lord for signs, give me signs, give me clarity, give me signs, give me signs, give me clarity, show me a sign, let me know, reconfirm, confirm, confirm. God will finally say to you, stop putting me to the test. Believe me. So laying or asking God for signs, honestly, is weak faith. if God has spoken to you his word. So number one, God turns you into a warrior if you first surrender to his plan. Number two, warriors fear the Lord more than their own personal fears. God is always speaking peace to them, peace to them. They're in Judges chapter 6. The Bible says Gideon took those 10 men, and he says he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day. He did it by night, but Gideon did it. He did it. You know, when the Lord revealed himself to Gideon, the Bible says he feared, and God had to say, I am Jehovah Shalom. Don't fear, don't fear. And so Gideon is establishing this relationship with the Lord, and he's beginning to fear the Lord more than he fears his fears, as it were. And that's the place we all need to get to. You know, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to do your will. You told me to do this. I'm going to do this. I'd rather be in the center of your will doing it afraid than not doing it and being disobedient. I don't want the consequences of disobedience in my life. Oh, Lord, I love you. I trust you. I fear you. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it afraid. That's where Gideon got to in his relationship with the Lord. That's where we need to get to, where we fear the Lord more than our own personal fears. That's what enabled me to talk to my mom and dad about the plan of God, because I wanted to be in the center of his will rather than outside his will, upsetting God. I'd rather upset my parents than upset God. I'd rather grieve my parents than grieve the Spirit. I'd rather have my parents yell at me than God yell at me. Does that make sense? You fear the Lord. You fear the Lord. Sometimes it's not nearly as bad as you think it will be. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's worse than you think it's going to be. But having said all that, is it not better to do God's will, to serve the Lord, to obey God, and to be on the other side of what God's called you to do? There, I pleased the Lord. Oh, such peace, such joy, such confidence, knowing I did it. I did it. It's like a little child and they're so afraid to ride the horse or go down the slide or whatever it is you're asking them to do, but they want to do it so bad, but they have all these fears and you're there, just trust me, you can do this. And then finally they do it and they're so happy that they did it. FOMO is very real. The fear of missing out. FOMO. We need to make sure we fear the Lord so we don't miss out on all that God has for us. Somebody say amen to that. So we got to learn to fear the Lord more than our fears. The enemy wants me to be paralyzed by fear, but my fears don't lead me to an action. They lead me to the throne. When I whisper my anxious thoughts to God, I'm not met with chastisement, but open arms. My Father gives me bold and confident access to Him. He lovingly invites me to give Him all my anxieties. God is using this process to draw me into deeper dependency upon Him. So when Gideon did what God asked him to do, there was strength, there was anointing, there was peace. It all flowed out of surrender and obedience to God's will through that surrender. Number three, how does God turn us into warriors? Well, we build personal altars to God. Remember, he built a personal altar, then he tore down a false altar, then he built a public altar. In Judges chapter 6, verse 24, it says, Gideon built an altar there to the Lord. Your private world must be arranged and ordered before God. I know I talk about altars a lot. I call you to the altar. You know, when you come forward in this area, we call this the altar area. It's a place of prayer, a place of worship, a place of salvation, a place of surrender, a place of devotion. You know, it's all that, right? That's all in an altar. I've learned this. Every Christian needs to build personal altars to God. Times when you go before the Lord and you say, God, I worship you. I say yes. I give you my life. Oh, Lord, I repent. I call on your name. I acknowledge your presence. By your grace, I've made it thus far. We need those times. You know, when you get saved, that's an altar. It's an altar. You call on the name of the Lord to save you. But that should not be the last altar you ever build, the altar of salvation. There needs to be altars all in your journey. Abraham was the best altar builder. All along his journey, Abraham built altars to the Lord.
I love this idea that Pastor Tim is talking about here, building altars.
Yeah.
Building an altar. And one of the things that was really cool about an altar, if you study an altar in the Old Testament, was it kind of had a double purpose. When these men and women of God would build an altar, it was one, to bring worship to God. And it was two, to be a memorial about what God had done. And I was thinking about, I'm reading in just in my personal devotions right now, I'm reading about in the book of Joshua. And Joshua built lots of altars. And he would constantly set up an altar and then turn and look to the people and say, this is a memorial to God. And when your children ask you, what does this altar mean? You tell them what God did. And I love that because we need to be people who are building altars in our life, making this declaration of look what God did in my life, so that when people ask, when people take notice, you can say, this is what God did in my life.
I think about that as just a parent. As we go live life, children need to be taught that, oh, this was an altar moment, kids. This is a God thing that we accomplished this, or that this happened, or that we have this in our life. We need to stop. We need to build an altar. We need to recognize this moment. It's real important to have those altars that are being built.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Tim is also going to preach on how it's important to maybe destroy an altar that was built for all the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons. Come on. That's a good point.
Yeah. And Gideon here in this story, he was an altar builder and an altar destroyer.
Yeah.
That's just as important.
Oh, yeah.
To destroy an altar that you've built up, maybe an altar of money, of fame, of success, an altar of the pursuit of... You shouldn't be going after certain things.
Yeah.
You know? You've gotten in trouble. Addictions that can be altars. Destroying those altars could save your life just as much as building an altar can save your life.
Man, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Tonight is, I feel like, an opportunity to build an altar.
Come on.
Pastor Aaron.
I love it.
Because let them know why.
Well, we got church tonight, everybody. And we love our Wednesday night service here at Cornerstone. It is one of my favorite times of the week for us. We have an incredible kids ministry, incredible youth ministry. And tonight we got something special for the adults. It's our Pearls and Steel and Man Up, which is kind of a guy-girl breakout deal. It's really cool.
It's awesome.
I never get to go to it because I'm over here with the teenagers, but I've heard it's awesome.
It is.
And so come on out for that. Bring your kids. Bring your teenagers. I just want to invite you out to church tonight.
All right. We'll be right back here tomorrow morning.
Walking in His Word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.